Let's get to our guest. Kieran Calder is with us. Kieran is head of equity research for Asia at UBP. He's on the line from Singapore. Kieran, thanks for being with us. A lot of the conversation is obviously focused on the relaxation of these strict COVID measures on the mainland, the reopening story in China. The equity market loves it. Are you a buyer of Chinese assets right now?
Hi, good morning. We've obviously, we're cautiously optimistic on this early reopening signals from China. The market clearly wants this to happen. It's encouraging that it seems like the official messages has started to recognize the actual science of Omicron, which is that it is less deadly. So hopefully the announcement you mentioned that's meant to happen later today will be something around effective vaccination, because this is the other problem in China. While there's a relatively high vaccination rate, we understand that the vaccine is not that effective, and they're not, they haven't brought in the mRNA vaccines, which would have made it much safer to reopen quicker.
So yeah. How should we view this? Should we view this as bumps in the road? They kept this policy for so long. They taught people to, stay home and be afraid of going out and all kinds of things. And now you've got to change that, and you're going to have spikes in cases. Winter's coming. So is that a bump in the road, or they could roll this back? There's a skepticism. They've said they're turning away from COVID zero in the past, and then they don't do it. What kind of situation is it?
Yeah, I think I would categorize it as the beginning of the end. Don't forget, education is important in China around this, because the message in China has been that COVID will kill you. And, when we see the, lockdown of IKEA and the factories and stuff and people running away, they're not running away because they want to be free. They're running away because they think they might get locked in and get COVID and die. So there needs to be, and certainly the message from the top has been, look, Omicron is not that bad. And that's part of the education process. So, certainly it's China and anything could happen. But it does seem to be, certainly the message from the top is that this is the beginning of the end, and they want to get it done.
What about how Western companies in particular are reevaluating their business ties with the mainland? I mean, even during the trade war under the Trump administration, there were companies that were reexamining supply chain issues. Obviously, that became or was exacerbated by the pandemic. Now we've had a draconian response. We can describe in greater detail what's underneath the hood, but fundamentally is that China has not been open for business for some time now, and companies in the West have had to deal with the consequence of that. And if I'm running a major company, I'm reinvestigating or revisiting the strategy as it relates to reliance on the Chinese economy. Fair statement? And so what can we be expecting then on that front over the next 12 months, let's say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fair statement. And then, as you mentioned, it started kind of with the trade war, got exacerbated by COVID, but it also falls within the sort of global theme around deglobalization. So if you are running a global supply chain, that includes China or even in the past Russia, definitely, plans are underway to diversify there. So potential beneficiaries, in the region, obviously are Vietnam, which is has had great growth in terms of supply chain reallocation, possibly India, although it's not without its infrastructure problems, and some of the other countries in Southeast Asia as well. Absolutely, not an issue that's going to go away quickly, or not just going to go away with the relaxation of COVID over time in China, but it also falls within the context of a reversal in globalization or deglobalization.
Okay, so how about what everybody else is expecting or not expecting that you are, in terms of what to do with my money in Asia?
Sure. I mean, so we think there's a few major things which are driving our view, which is kind of cautious. And we've just published an outlook for next year called Walking the Tightrope, which kind of gives a illustration of where we think we are. So while inflation is probably topped out in the short term, we generally agree that a terminal rate of around 5% is looks about right, and we'll get an increase in the guidance from the Fed next week. But don't forget that if against market expectations that the Fed has to start cutting by mid next year, in the sort of Goldilocks case where we're head for a soft landing, the Fed has in the past against aggressive rate hike cycles, the period between the last hike and the first cut has been between 6 and 9 months. So I would say that we shouldn't expect a short-term reversal, and maybe that's where we differ a little bit. We think it leads us to a few strategies. One is certainly inflation is high, but it's starting to fall, and we think that's creating a tactical opportunity to do two things. One is focus on profits that come from reallocation or forced reallocation of spending, so around energy transition and also around infrastructure, globally even, and also a shift towards dividends and income as key drivers of total returns in this 6 to 12 month period as inflation is high but starts to fall, we should expect overall positive real returns from equities over that period of time. And we think the best way to get that is from the two things we just mentioned, which is reallocation of spending towards energy and infrastructure, and also dividends and income.
So I'm trying to understand, in listening to your kind of view on Fed policy, what it means for the path of the dollar. Today's strengthening notwithstanding, I mean, we have elevated yields. I get that. With some of the data in the States has been a little hot, creating a little bit more anxiety around this notion of, higher for longer and maybe a terminal rate that's well above 5 by the middle of next year. But so if you had to kind of put a view on the dollar here, and not only where the dollar may trade, but what that means for Asia, how do you weigh in?
We think the dollar has peaked or is peaking. So obviously, that is supported by the bulk of interest rate increases have already happened. Even if we were going to 6, most of it's already happened, or certainly the surprise part of it is long ago already happened. So that's one thing. So we think a shift towards a weaker dollar is obviously a positive for EM in general. The biggest part of EM is obviously China. So if we could get view towards peaking of rates and a reopening of China, we think that could be very positive indeed for EM earnings and EM markets into next year.
Well, it all seems like not pie in the sky, like all of that could happen. Karen Alt-Calder, thank you so very much for a fascinating conversation and potentially profitable conversation. Head of Equity Research for Asia at UBP.